and Conti entered. He was dressed in a sports coat, shirt, and jeans. She figured Conti was 6 feet tall, give or take an inch, with black hair and brown eyes. Rumor had it that he was a ladies' man, and Lee could see why. The bastard had dimples, for God's sake. They appeared as he smiled. I was starting to wonder if I had the right place.
Sorry, Lee lied. Make yourself to home. I'll get ready.
Conti saw the weapon and watched as Lee placed it on a side table and walked away. As far as he could tell, the oversized t-shirt was the only thing she had on. It hung down over what he imagined to be a very nice butt. Her legs were bare and slim. He liked that. Don't do it with your partner. That was the rule, and a good one for the most part. But depending on how things went, Conti was willing to make an exception. He heard a door slam and the shower come on as he entered the living room. Drawn curtains made the space feel gloomy, and the brown paint made the situation worse. Interestingly enough, there wasn't any kind of what he thought of as girly stuff in sight. No colorful prints, no stuffed animals, no flowers. Two matching bookcases occupied the right-hand wall and were filled with cop memorabilia. That included photographs, lots of them. Most featured a man with black hair, almond-shaped eyes, and high cheekbones. Lee's father? Yes, a sergeant, judging from the chevrons on his sleeve. In addition to the photos, there was a plaque for marksmanship, a presentation nightstick, and a display case containing three medals. One of them was a Medal of Valor, the highest honor a cop could receive. Frank Lee had been a real fire eater then. I'm ready. Conti turned to look at her. He'd seen Lee before, but usually from a distance. She stood about 5'5 and might weigh 125. A halo of black hair framed her face. She had big brown eyes, a perfect nose, and full lips. Her clothing consisted of a waist-length leather jacket, khaki cargo pants, and lace-up combat boots. Conti watched as the Glock went into a shoulder holster and something shiny slipped into the small of her back. What was that? She looked up at him.
What was what?
The backup. What is it?
It's a Smith & Wesson Model 627.
Conti made a face.
A wheel gun, huh?
I carry a Kel-Tec P-11. I think semi-autos are the better option. Lee's eyes narrowed.
Who cares what you think? Let's go.
And with that, she walked out through the door. Conti followed, checked to make sure that it was locked, and took the stairs two at a time. She was waiting next to the car when he arrived and extended a hand.
I'll drive.
Why?
Because I don't know you.
Maybe you can handle a car, and maybe you can't. Time will tell. He placed the keys in her hand and watched Lee pull a 360 on the sedan, even going so far as to peer under it.
Paranoia?
Not really. A device placed by the Bombus gang had been responsible for the death of I. George 12 2 weeks earlier. That meant any car that was left unattended, no matter how briefly, had to be checked. After completing the 360, Lee slipped behind the wheel, and Conti got in beside her. Lee started the sedan, eased down the street, and took a right. More cars were out and about by then. Most of them were one-offs manufactured by various fabricantes. Form followed function in most cases, but there were some especiales as well. They were sleek affairs. Low to the ground in most cases, and tricked out with fanciful paint jobs. The police officers were headed south on North Main Street by then. Lee pulled over to the curb 6 blocks later. Conti checked his watch.
It's 6:50. Roll call begins in 10 minutes.
You need one of Maria's breakfast burritos, Lee informed him.
Wait here, I'll be right back.
Then she was gone. All Conti could do was sit and fume as Lee entered a tiny hole-in-the-wall restaurant and soon emerged with a cardboard box. She passed it through the passenger side window. I stop here every morning,